about? It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
Hi, Amy. How are we going?
Hi, Laura. I'm good. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Enjoying the sunshine in Auckland. Whereabouts in New Zealand are you?
Well, today I'm actually in my own electorate, which makes a nice change. So I'm in Rolleston, which is the biggest part of the Samoan district.
Oh, wow. You're actually home.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
I think it's the first time we've talked where you've been actually in your own electorate.
It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, well, this is recess week, so I've spent 4 days out around the rest of the country, a bit of time in your patch in Auckland, but today and yesterday afternoon I've actually been spending some time in my own patch, which is really nice.
I can imagine. It's good to be back home with your electorate.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump in. The New Zealand Values Bill. Do you support it?
Yeah. Do I support it? Mm-hmm. No, I'm very suspicious of the concept. I haven't seen the bill. I've heard the case in which you're going to be putting it in, so I don't know what's in it. But the concept worries me. I think the way we work in New Zealand is we have a set of laws that incorporate the things that we as a society have agreed make up the standard of behaviour we expect. And if someone moves to New Zealand, we absolutely expect them to comply with our laws. So, for example, child marriage might be lawful in some cultures and countries. It certainly isn't here. And if you move here, we expect you to live by the fact that that's not acceptable. Female genital mutilation, you know, again, some cultures might find that acceptable. New Zealand, we absolutely don't. So I think we already have a very clear way of expressing what we expect everyone in New Zealand to do. But I worry if you start getting into mandating something that's beyond the law, which represents Kiwi values, your first question has to be, well, who's going to decide what those are? And then your second question is, to what extent does that start imposing on things like religious freedoms and freedom of thought and expression? So I think it's a pretty dangerous road to go down. And so, as I say, I'm deeply suspicious of the concept, and I would have thought very unlikely to support it.
I feel like these bills sometimes, of course, they create a rhetoric. A lot of people have come out saying they see it as problematic, but they also create a conversation. Roger Melville, for instance, a conference delegate, has been quoted saying he finds Indian, Pakistani, and Asians of some nations to have views that don't align with New Zealand values. That appears to be quite a racist rhetoric. What do you think about that?
I mean, I would say that there are New Zealanders who do things that I find totally abhorrent. I mean, there's a lot of New Zealanders who seem to think it's okay to beat their wives and beat their children, and our rates of domestic violence are horrific. Now, there's a lot of Kiwis who do things that I find abhorrent, but as I say, it's not necessarily a question of them being New Zealand values. It's a question of us as a community setting out the standards we expect. But equally, when Indians or Pakistanis or Chinese or Muslims or any race, a nation or culture or religion move to New Zealand, I don't expect them to give up who they are and their beliefs. I do expect them to adhere to the laws of New Zealand, as we all should. But I don't think when you come here, you suddenly have to become an androgynous cookie cutter replica of each other. That's not the diversity that I think is part of what makes New Zealand great.
Going off of that, what do you think, because the term New Zealand values, I think that's quite an interesting thing. What do you think New Zealand values are?
Yeah, look, it'd be a hard thing to try and lay out. And as I said, there's an awful lot of New Zealanders who live in ways that I don't think, you know, reflect New Zealand values. I think you'd have to sort of look at the things like honesty and family and opportunity and healthy lifestyles. I don't know. I'm not going to try and pretend I'm going to give you a perfect explanation of what they are. But I think, the people who live here generally love this country, respect their fellow human beings, are open to different ideas and thoughts, believe in a system of laws and social mores, I guess. But I wouldn't expect someone who's been in New Zealand and their family's been in New Zealand for 100 years to necessarily agree with me on everything I think. And I don't see why we would expect someone who's a recent migrant to New Zealand to necessarily agree. But as I said, we do absolutely have limits that we put in our laws that say you may have grown up in a culture where underage marriage, for example, is okay, but in New Zealand it's not. And that's how we express where those red lines sit. But beyond that, trying to tell people that they have to look and act like fourth generation New Zealanders, I don't think that's the welcoming face we want to show to the world.
Jumping onto the Child Poverty Reduction Bill. So that's something the National Party has signed on to after some previous debate about it. How did that come about?
Well, look, I know that it's a political narrative that's been running pretty hot, but I think it would be very unfair to suggest there's anyone in Parliament who likes the thought of children living in poverty. You go into politics because you genuinely want to make a difference, and we all, in every party in Parliament, want to live in a country where no child goes without. So I think it's something that we all fundamentally want to see happen. We all want to see fewer children living in poverty. And in our government, we had a real focus on this in our way through our programs, and we saw actually a reduction of 85,000 children living in what's called material hardship over our time in office. Our budget package was going to take another 50,000 out, and then we had commitments to do even more. Labour have come up with this bill as a way of codifying that approach in law, and we said, look, we like the idea of it, but actually it has to be something tangible. And if we said to the government, if you can work with us on putting in some clear measures and accountabilities and into the bill, and it's not just a sort of a high-level statements of things we'd like to see, then we'd like to work with you on it. Because I think if these things are going to make a difference, they have to be enduring across political parties. And the government, to their credit, was happy to work with us, and they've made a number of changes to the bill to give it more substance in terms of exactly what governments will do to achieve it and how they will be held to account for it. And we think those are significant improvements. And so we've said that we're happy to support it. And I think it's a really good example, actually, of where political parties can work together on things. As I say, where we all share the same goal, and if we can find some consistency in how we're going to get there, that can only be a good thing.
Mm. And of course, ACT has come out in criticism of the National Party signing on to this. Can you tell me a bit about where that's coming from?
No, look, I absolutely can't. I mean, only David Seymour is going to be able to explain his view on that. I think minor parties like ACT are often looking for ways to differentiate themselves, and David Seymour is better to explain why he thinks it's a bad thing. Look, there's when you're working together with other parties, there's never going to be a perfect solution. Compromise is exactly that. But what we've done is recognise that the government has been prepared to make changes to the bill that we think are important. And we want to encourage good collaboration where that makes sense. So we're prepared to accept the bill, given that the government has made real steps to meet us with some of our concerns. If David wants to sit out on the fringes and say, well, it's not exactly as I would write it, so it's a bad thing, that's for him. But personally, I think where we can find areas to work together, and the government is prepared to meet us halfway and put in some of the things that we wanted to see in there, then that's something to be encouraged, and that's certainly what we're doing.
Mm. Well, he's been quoted saying the bill is actually a political exercise that focuses on household income rather than children's welfare. I just fail to kind of see, when it comes to it being a poverty-based thing, how income isn't the most important part of this conversation. What are the kind of factors do you think come into child poverty?
Well, income is certainly important, and that clearly is in the bill. But actually, one of the changes that we've had made to the bill is to make sure it reports on not just income, on a whole range of things. And so it now covers income, it covers the employment of the adults in the house, it covers their housing situation, it covers their education, it covers their child development and welfare, and it covers health indicators. Because if you think about it, if any one of those things are missing from a child's life, their prospects of growing into successful, well-functioning, healthy adults who have opportunities to get ahead for themselves is limited. So you could have a good income, but if you're being beaten or not living in a safe house, or if you have serious health conditions, or if you're not getting a good education, all of those things can lead to real deprivation for a child. So yes, income matters, and I don't think we should shy away from that. Mm. But I also think it's not enough to say that just because the household may look to have an average or better income, that the children are getting everything they need. So I think now the bill is better because it, as I say, touches on all of those criteria I just listed.
Mm. Moving on to Simon Bridges. So this week he's come under some criticism. Winston Peters, for one, believes that Simon Bridges being the within the National Party makes the party leaderless. And this is on the back of an alleged National Party MP saying they lack confidence in Bridges' leadership. And then criticism in the way he speaks on certain subjects, particularly with Jamie Lee's health issue, which he's apologized for calling it an embarrassing health issue. What do you think of Simon Bridges' leadership?
Oh, look, Simon has got the support of our entire caucus. We've gone through a good, robust, open process where we discussed options for the leadership of the party. The caucus has chosen Simon, and I can tell you that every one of us, including me as someone who is one of these contenders, gives Simon our absolute and unequivocal support. One of the things that we know is that to be successful as a political party, you've got to have stable and consistent leadership, and if you're chopping and changing your leaders every 5 minutes, as we saw from Labor during the last period of opposition, that's not a good thing. So we all support Simon completely. I think he's doing a very good job as our leader, and he's certainly really inspiring confidence across all of us. Look, it's the jobs we're in are not easy, and Simon's job as leader of the opposition, you know, many people will say leader of the opposition is the toughest job in Parliament in some ways, and certainly the most thankless. And, you know, he can be facing media conferences and cameras in his faces and questions many, many times every day. And the reality is it's easy for here and there to express a word wrongly or say something in a way you haven't phrased it quite right. None of us are perfect. And he's come out today and said, look, that was a poor choice of words. He didn't mean to say embarrassing. He explained, you know, the point he was trying to make. And he's human. Of course he's human. Mm. But he's, I think, a very good leader for us. And frankly, the fact that Winston is ragging on him and trying to undermine him speaks more about, I think, Winston's concern at his own poll rankings and trying to grab himself a headline. It's typical Winston. And it says more to me about the fact that Winston's feeling a bit threatened than anything else.
But we do see that coming up more than just with Winston's comments. So that news being there, being it critical of Simon Bridges, that's obviously coming from somewhere. What do you think it's representative of?
Well, look, there's a whole block in politics who want to attack National and attack National's leader, and whoever the National leader is going to face criticism from people who want to see us go down in the polls and not be respected. And these sorts of unattributed conversations or comments that are allegedly made by people, I think you've got to take them with a grain of salt. What I know, I mean, I sit in the caucus meetings, and I know that Simon has absolutely the backing of our caucus. And you don't, you know, you don't get ahead as in any team, whether you're the All Blacks or a business or a sports team, if you're all infighting. And that's something we know very, very well in our party. I think we've been one of the most consistently stable parties over many years in terms of when we have a leader, we back them, and we back them all the way through. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly not going to change. And as I say, I don't put a lot of unattributed anonymous comments that people say, because plenty of people in politics looking to take pot shots at you. And frankly, when you are still the biggest polling party in New Zealand, as we are on the most recent polls, then there's going to be people who want to knock you. But I judge Simon on his performance, and I think he's doing a good job.
Mm. And of course, this conversation comes from Winston Peters expecting two more leadership changes in the National Party before the next election.
Well, I'm sorry, Winston Peters is not an expert on what's happening in the National Party. Mm. This is a guy who's just passed legislation to forcibly stop MPs leaving his party, because every time he's been in Parliament previously, he's had big ructions within his own party. So I think he's reflecting more on what happens in his own caucus historically than he is in what's happening on ours. We're not the ones who wanted to pass legislation to force MPs to stay within their parties. That came from Winston. So he's probably better to reflect on his own position and history in that regard.
Mm. And of course, you were the candidate running opposite Simon Bridges in terms of leadership. I'm just curious, if leadership did come up again as a position, would you run for it again?
Well, I'm not expecting there to be a change in National anytime soon, so it's not something I've even turned my mind to. Mm.
And I just have one last very important question. Did you vote for Bird of the Year?
For Bird of the Year? Well, I haven't voted yet, but my preference is the rock hopper penguin. I've always been a bit of a fan of those eyebrows, so hard to go past.
I feel like it's a bit of a star this year.
Yeah.
Saw a little news article about it just before.
he's got a bit of personality, a bit of spunk. Yeah. You gotta love those eyebrows.
Absolutely. Well, great talking with you, Amy. We'll be speaking
nice
with you next week.
See you later.
See ya.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire.